You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is like
everything else. They just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
I'm the Swans, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's Waltz. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, everybody. While Tom has to redial back in here, this is Marco Bill. Of course, bringing you Bigfoot Live radio show with Tom Biscardi. And a little technical difficulty. The phone audio is a little bit jerky. But tonight we've got a really, really good show. And I think you're going to enjoy it. Some of the things that we'd like to always do is to acknowledge all of our extended family and our friends out there. And I just wanted to do a special shout-out here for Steve Dismore. He just got out of the hospital. They think that the operation was a success, and he's walking around in on a walker, but he's doing well. He left me, he talked to me, and I think Steve is going to do okay. We'll keep you. We want to thank everybody for your prayers and all your well wishes while he was in the hospital. Anyway, Steve Dismore, if you're out there listening, my friend, we wish you the best and hope that you recover and get better. Who just beeped in?
This is Java Bob. I just now got to a phone. So.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what phone number that was. It was a different one. Okay, no problem.
So it sounds like Tom's not there yet?
Well, no, he was on. His phone is jerky or bad audio. He's going to try to dial in again.
Yeah, he's out in the field, you know. I haven't even been able to see who's out there in the chat room.
Hey, it's Alex. How you doing? Hey, let me help. Why don't I give a shout-out to everybody in the chat room for you guys?
Well, Alex, you're the king. Go for it.
All right. Didn't mean to interrupt, but I heard everybody's struggling. So,
thank you.
And I just actually logged in the chat room, so I figured I'd help out. We got We got the Arkansas Redneck, and of course we got Becky in there. We got Billy Green, as usual. We got Chatfoot Jan in Georgia. She's a wealth of information on Georgia, if you know what I mean. So you guys want to ask some questions on the goings-on down in Georgia, get on the chat room, and give Jan a shout, because she has all sorts of information. And then we got Davo, one of the Crypto Four Corner guys, and we got Lance Garrison. We got LDG back, and Leslie. Hi, Leslie. And, of course, Marco and myself. And then the Snake Man of Paris and the Secret 48. We all know that's Steve. And then there's Tom AP. Hey, admin@bigfootwest.com. How you doing? Give Tom an email. He'll let you know what's going on. Check out his newsletter. And then we got a couple of guests, too. If you guys want to sign in, we'll give you a shout-out. How's that, guys? And hello, Bob, and hello, Marco.
Thank you, Alex. That was awesome. Awesome. I see we have a pretty good show planned for tonight.
Tom is still out there. He's trying to dial in. He's having problems. I want to see if I can't three-way him. Oh, he's coming in.
How's this?
It's better, Tom. It's good. We can really hear you now. It's nice and clear. Go ahead.
All right.
Well, we've done a shout-out for the Alex did the shout-out for the for the chat room. Java Bob kind of filled in a little bit. I filled in a little bit, and we're ready to go. Anything that you need to say, I gave a special special thing out there to Steve Dismore. He got back home here this week, and he's in a walker, but he's doing well, and they think they got all the stuff from the operation done. So,
our prayers, blessings go out to all of those fine people. And I want to thank Bob and Alex and you for hanging on. You know, the weather out here isn't the greatest. But we're online now, and that's all that matters, ladies and gentlemen. I want to do a few shout-outs to some special, special people. T-Bone, Mr. Tim Boyd from Vegas. He's the drummer for Rufus Thomas and some other famous stars. Thanks for being in our corner, good buddy. Hugo from San Diego, thanks for those kind words. Couldn't get any better. Judy, sweet Judy. She's the second best-looking girl. She knows where, too. And her nephew, AJ, doesn't get any better. He's our youngest. Well, our newest, not our youngest, our newest Bigfoot believer. Hey, AJ, thank you for listening in. And by the way, Judy, you are the best. Nicole from New Jersey. Hey, girl. What exit did you say that was? Dan Turner from Tennessee. You all remember Dan. He was on the show. Thanks for all your help, good buddy. Chris Allen, my God, from West Virginia. He just became a papa one more time today. Congrats, good buddy. 6 pounds, 6 ounces. Ladies and gentlemen, he can still shoot them. Those bullets are firm as hell, and he's shooting out those boys. Boy's name is, listen to this, Buck Wild. You guys remember any of those names? Buck Wild. Congratulations to you, Mama and Baby. I'm glad to see everybody's doing well. Wayne Daniels, Stratford, Connecticut. Hey, Wayne. Thanks, good buddy, for that purchase Bigfoot Lives DVD. He loves it to death. And by the way, Brian Hedstrom from Madera, California, he wanted one of those ski caps, you know, the bright orange ones that searching for Bigfoot. He says, Mr. B, he says, I want one of those when I go out there deer hunting. I want to make sure nobody shoots me. Thank you, Brian, for your support. Ashley Falks up there in Pulliup, Washington. Man, I'll tell you what, whatever you got, girl, let's bottle it. We're going to make a million because you got young blood, mini, mini me. On a hook. This poor guy doesn't know whether to... Well, you know what I'm thinking about anyway. He can't wait to meet you, kiddo. Arturo Lopez, Santa Rosa, California. Can't wait to see that new site, Arturo. Thanks so much. Leroy Blevins, you heard me all talk about him, ladies and gentlemen. The guy in Ohio. He debunked that whole thing up there about the Patterson footage. Well, guess what? He's got a new movie. It's called The Walk of the Bigfoot. We can't wait to see it, Leroy. Understand you're in the filming business now. Hey, man, I'm going out to my cheerleaders. You guys hear me talk about them each and every week. You know who they are? They're my girls that stand firm. They champion behind what we do. If it wasn't for them, we'd be no us. Bo out there in Alabama. Susan in Minnesota. Connie from B.C. Love you, darling. Becky up there in Washington. What would I be without her? Faye out in Texas. And, of course, the Countess herself. Gigi, wherever you are, darling. Larry Jenkins, ladies and gentlemen, this man has been probably one of the greatest supporters of SFBI in the world. Here's where that nail was found, up on his land, those 40 acres up in Seligman. Larry, thank you so much from the bottom of our heart. You are the man, and we are going to announce some awful big things coming up because it's in the right hands right now. Donna Glacier and her friend, it's called Glacier and Crane. She's up in Reno, Nevada, ladies and gentlemen. She's Chris Allen's management team. So any of you guys that want to book old Chris, you go through her. Call Marco and he'll set you the numbers. Let it all happen. To my scientific team, Java Bob, Shannon Sylvia, Rich Stubstad. I don't know where I'd be without you guys. To the Creel family, thanks for everything you're doing for us, buddy. To Don Creel and Leonard out there in West Virginia. You guys rule, man. You're the best. CJ from West Virginia, looking forward to receiving that package, my man. To the crew up there in Timpson, Texas, you guys are the bomb for the hospitality. Bruce Schilt up in Montana, we miss you guys immensely. Now to all our extended family around the globe, kudos and salutations. Till next week, United States of America. We've got a lot of good things up setting up for each and every one of you guys tonight. There's some stuff going to happen, and it's going to turn the hairs on the back of your neck a twirl. Because what we're going to talk about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is stuff that you only read about in scientific books. We went out on this last expedition. We're still out there. But one of our first trips was extremely incredible. Let me tell you, before we get out, I want to set the stage for this, ladies and gentlemen. It's an incredible story. Like I said, you're only going to read about this in scientific novels or on the Sci-Fi channel on TV. There's a few guys out in Arkansas. These guys counted some creatures, whether it be 1 to 5 to 10, I don't know. I know that it's more than one. They encountered them. And, whether it be self-defense or they were hired, I don't know. We'll hear the full story, and it's not just going to end tonight. This will be a 2 or 3 or 4 part story, as long as they need to tell the story. So without any further ado, we're going to go out to Arkansas. We're going to talk to James. James, you're out there?
Hey, Tom.
How are you, good buddy?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Well, you know, we've been under the weather, you know. Me and myself, you have no idea what we've encountered since we saw you and the weather we went through. Well, when we were up there by you, you guys had snow on the ground and threatening snowfall again. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, James, I got to tell you, this is a jubilant day for me. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and my crew's heart, because you got guts, man. You got the cojones to make this happen tonight. And I praise you for that. And the reason being is because if this didn't happen, you wouldn't be on the air with us tonight. And I really believe that. And I believe in you. After meeting with you, you seem straight up. I told you that before. And here's the deal. I want you to take your time and tell my listeners out there how this whole thing came about, if you would, and bring them up to the point when this thing was within 12 feet from you. And out of self-defense, I'm sure it was, when I heard the story from you, and you plowed 3 of them into this thing, and then it got a hold of you and gave you the biggest bear hug you ever had, then you had to take that steel, that K-bar that you had, and defend yourself, and then he just threw you like a rock. Why don't you tell everybody the story?
Well, Tom, it was back in 94, about February. Me and my dad, my brother, and a good friend of mine who I had thought until I talked to you had probably died or something, because it's been years since I've seen him, but we all went out camping one night, and well, I was kind of into sports. I wasn't used to the kind of diet the others were, and we'd sit around the fire and eating and all that, and, well, the food started kind of getting to me, and so I walked off in the woods to go to the bathroom, and my battery, the batteries in my light was going dead. I was having trouble with it. I got out probably 100 yards from camp, and, well, I laid the light down, and I was trying to get my britches down, and I heard a sound, and we had had some black bear problems in that area. Anyhow, I finally got my light to working, and when I did, I saw something, and, well, it came at me, and I just did what was natural, and I started shooting. Well, I fired 3 shots, and when I was, about the time I fired the 3rd shot, it slammed into me. I dropped my gun. It was about to squeeze all the stuff out of me, and all I could think to do was just grab my old Marine Corps K-bar, and I went to sticking it in the neck. In the head, wherever I could gouge it to get it to turn me loose. And I guess I convinced it to turn me loose, but it threw me quite a distance. And anyhow, my dad, my brother, my friend, they heard everything that was going on. Of course, they could hear the shots. They got down there and found my gun laying on the ground, found blood everywhere. And then they looked around and found me about 50 yards down the hill below where it all took place. Well, after it happened, we vacated, and we went back to my brother's house, and they cleaned me up. I was covered in blood. And then when I left my brother's house, me and my friend went to my house. I left my coat in my brother's truck. And so my brother, a couple of days later, he dropped my coat off at the university to have the blood. Well, actually, the next day, me and my dad and my brother had got together. We didn't include my friend because he was more freaked out than I was. And we went back to that area, and my brother's a tracker, if anything. We tracked it up through the woods, and we found it laying dead in a field. Well, when we saw what it was, and we really still didn't know what it was, my dad called it an Arkansas brush ape, but we decided that, not knowing what it was and not knowing what, if we were in trouble, we drug it back to my brother's land, and we built a large fire and threw the body on it. Well, we weren't sure what to do, so we decided that what we wouldn't do is tell anybody. But my friend apparently told a number of people that my brother, he sold real estate on the side. He got a phone call, and he was asked to come out and show some land. When he got out there, it was two men in a big sedan, and when he got out and identified himself, they identified themselves, showing badges and all that, and they explained to him that it probably better we better let the story just go away, because we were messing with something that we didn't want to mess with. And anyhow, my brother, he was a little irate. You've talked to my brother. You know how he can be. But he, they told him that in order to ensure his quality of life, that maybe he should just tell me and my dad and my friend to shut up about it and just pretend it never happened. And then he reached in the back of the seat of his car and he handed my brother my jacket that he had taken to the university, and it was spotless. The ripped sleeve was repaired, and, well, that was, we let it go. I never told anybody until you called me. You're the first one that I've ever talked to about it, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Well, you know, I got to tell you this, James. When I got this story and I got the official documents, it blew me away. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know whether to call Geraldo right away with Geraldo at Large on Fox News or get a hold of Michael Moore, the guy that's out there doing his thing. Because I was in shock. I got to tell you this, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this, all right? These people were warned, all right, and I got official documents. I'm looking at them right now, from the Central Intelligence Agency to the FBI, and they name James and his daddy and his brother and a couple of other guys, or one other guy. And the stories, he read them. James read them all. But I want to tell you just the third page and one other thing. On the third page, it states this. I'm going to quote it. Listen up very closely, ladies and gentlemen. Should so-and-so and so-and-so choose to ignore said warning, I hereby authorize termination with extreme prejudice in accordance with breach of National Security Act of 1973. And they said, continue surveillance on this other fellow, respectfully, the guy's name who was the head of the FBI. But the thing that really got me, apparently that James and his dad and brother and friends, they had uncovered something that was going on in their area. And apparently, what was going on, it was a nuclear, biological, chemical testing and breeding project. They had labeled it C4. And a couple of these hybrids had escaped, one being called Sapphire, which was a female, and one being called Lucifer, which was a male. And if you would be so kind, James, to tell the story when they picked you up. What did they do to you? They kept you for how many days, and what happened?
Well, what happened was, it was me and my dad, my friend, and another friend. We had a second encounter with something out there. I never saw it, but I've heard it screaming, and I believe you heard the recording.
Unbelievable.
Anyhow, my dad, in his 60s, decided that he was going to try and chase it down, and his friend was along with him, and it sounded like a young war, and, well, we lost Dad's friend. We found Dad later laying in, he was kind of winded. We heard all the shooting. We heard something slam into the gate up above the campsite. And we found Dad up toward the gate, but he was just exhausted. And his friend, fortunately, had later on, he went on by himself because he didn't have any idea. He was picked up by some turkey hunters, fortunately, that heard the screaming, heard the shooting, and decided that they no longer wanted to be in that area. But the next morning, we got up and we were looking around, seeing what we could find, see if we could find our friend. And we had a number of helicopters fly over us. And so we decided it was time to leave. But what you were talking about happened in 96. We were at, as you said, C4. We were in that area. And my dad spotted a coon. And it was absolutely the biggest coon that I've ever seen in my life. And I used to be a coon hunter. But this was a female that was bigger than any male coon that I'd ever seen. Well, my dad shot it, and we was walking up out of the woods with it, going to my truck. And as we was walking up to my truck, just all of a sudden, this van comes tearing down the road. It was late at night, headlights in our eyes, we couldn't see. Nobody identified themselves. They just got out and they identified themselves with a bunch of gun barrels. They put us in the van and they drove us somewhere. There was no windows in the van. When we got out of the van, we got out in a garage. We don't know where. And so we spent the next 5 days as guests of whoever. And they took pictures of just, they was asking us questions that we really couldn't answer, but they thought if they beat us long enough that we could answer some questions. Well, there wasn't much we could tell them, but they kept us and they thumped us, and then they warned us. They told us that we needed to mind our own business, stay away from there, and it was just like, you know, I don't know if I told you. They fed me in that 5 days, they fed me 2 McDonald's hamburgers that was cold. I told them that if they were going to feed me McDonald's, that I wanted a Big Mac, so they didn't feed me anymore. Of course, Dad, they fed him 3, so I was jealous. But they kept us a few days, and then they loaded us up in the van. They took us back to where my truck was still sitting, even though it had been turned around and was headed the other direction. And they warned us again that if we enjoyed our lifestyles, that we better just mind our own business and stay out of the area. Well, C4, in fact, was where they, years ago, they enriched weapons-grade plutonium. What they did after that, nobody really knows. They're in the process now of cleaning the place up. But we were given instructions to no longer be in that area, to keep our mouths shut, and, you know, the size of the area that this all took place, I'm not too sure that if anybody's listening that they don't already know who's telling the story, but we'll just have to wait and see what comes of it. But as I was telling you, I'm just glad to be able to tell the story and not have somebody to tell me that I've gone insane. Well,
okay, let me stop you right there. Let's close on this note, because I want to continue this next week. What you've told now is a lot of this story, but there's still a lot more to come. And I want my listeners to dwell on what's been said here tonight. Remember, everybody out there, This man was picked up and beaten, held for 5 days without his consent, virtually kidnapped by one of these government organizations. You know, leave it to your imagination. I've seen the documentation, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen the picture of the creature that they downed. I met with the people. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It sounds incredible. We're still doing our due diligence. But as we go along the way, I'm bringing it to you as we see it, as we hear it. You're hearing it as we've heard it. The man had guts enough to come forward now after all these years. And it wasn't just him. It was another friend of his that he keeps calling about. And I hope to God we get that other friend to come forward also. He may be listening out there. As a matter of fact, I know he is. He's a Vietnam vet. Hello?
Yes. If you can, have him call me. I need to talk to him. It's been so long, and I thought that he was dead. I need to talk to him.
I talked to him today, and I told him, I relayed your message. Trust me. I do what I said I was going to do. Marco told me what you asked, and I talked to him today. Now it's up to him to do that, all right? And I asked him to do it. He's listening tonight. I'm telling you right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this story is too good to be true. But I'm telling you, I've met with these men. I've seen what they've had. I took the hair sample, the actual hair sample that he talked about when they came and laundered that shirt and had it analyzed. And the only thing I can tell you is that we've done it 3 times. They think it's contaminated for the guys that handle it, touch it themselves, but they're going to do another run because it was a big clump and they got some good roots. Now listen, these are a bunch of years. I don't know, it's 16 years, 14 years, but it goes to show you DNA can do miracles today. So they're hoping that the inner circle of the clump of hair, if they got good roots, maybe they can yield better results. And I'm going to bring it to you as they come, ladies and gentlemen. But we're going to hold this story out now until next week because we've got a ton more to talk about here tonight. I'm going to call you after the show, James. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Just mute yourself out. There's a lot more show that you need to listen to here, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
God bless you, and we'll have you on next week. Just listen to the show. There's a lot more ahead, okay?
I'll be listening.
Thank you, good
Thank
buddy.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was James from Arkansas. Let me tell you something. You're going to be hearing more about this guy. He's got the guts to come forward after all these years to bring it forward. Did it here on my show. I've gone out there to meet him. Met him. Met the other guy who contacted me before him. They're stand-up people. They're not jokers. They don't even want to come on. I'll tell you right now, when you see the evidence, and that's the reason why we're taking our time, it'll speak for itself. Let's go to commercial, Marco.
Okay, Tom, here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
like everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand
was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie
right now
at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And it's back to you, Tom.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you something, Marco.
Yeah.
I get shivers when I hear the story again. You know,
amazing. Oh my gosh.
You know, Youngblood, mini me,
We've talked hours on this thing. We've met with these people. It's just incredible. They didn't want to come on the air. They're deathly afraid of what may happen. And you know what?
I don't blame them.
I'm telling everybody out there in this world, right? Anything happens to these people, okay? I will be the first to testify because I've got the documents. So I'm going on record right now. And you know all how to get a hold of me. I'm real simple. I'm out there. Anything happens to these people, I'll be the first to take this to the highest courts in the world. Trust me. I'll do everything I need to make sure that these guys are okay. All right, well, that said, being done, we're going to go out now to Mississippi. And I got to tell you, there's a bunch of good guys down in that area that we've just made a part of us, of SFBI, and I'm honored to have them with us. We were real cold out in that area. I think that's where we really got this flu virus stuff that really nipped us pretty bad. Let's get out there to Mississippi, and you know it's a great name, that town, Petal, P-E-T-A-L, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get down there where our good buddy Damon is. Damon, you out there?
Yes, sir. Tom, how are you this afternoon?
Well, feeling better, but hey, buddy, what'd you think of our friend James in Arkansas?
Uncle Tom, as I'm going to call you from now because I feel like I'm part of the family, I just stood up and I pulled my bootstrings tight. I'm ready to take me a trip to Arkansas.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, you have no idea what's coming down the pike. But I got to tell you this. I was so enamored when we came down there, met you, met the other people, Albie and his son and what have you, and that area. You know what blew my mind is, what's that base, Shelby?
Yeah, Shelby, yes, sir, Shelby.
But the night we were out, you know, remember how cold it was? And I had told you I hadn't suited up for a while being in that kind of weather, but we did. And the stuff that went on when we hit that road, and at the end of the road, that little old black lady down at the end of the road, where she lived by herself, where she put that tinfoil on her windows because she'd hated waking up in the middle of the night seeing those eyes and that creature come by her window, where she called 911 and told about this something goings on out there by the house, that big hairy ape thing. And then that guy who died, who killed himself. And you guys put a monument right out there and right down there by the swamp. Tell my listeners the story, would you?
Well, Uncle Tom, it's been an ongoing thing here, as you know, and I just want to thank you and Youngblood for coming out and doing such an awesome job, first and foremost. Like I say, this has been going it's been an ongoing event here in Mississippi, lifelong for certain folks, as you just stated. The incident in question involved a gentleman named Mike. Now, Mike is an ex-Navy SEAL. Now, they would go out on occasions, listening, setting up, and investigating. Well, on this night in question, as the story goes, to the best of my knowledge, they were all at a makeshift camp that was set up in lawn chairs. A few had dozed off, whatnot, but they'd begin to hear strange racket. The way that I take it, it was that Mike himself was by himself after a few moments, and it startled him, and that he had on a shoulder holster and pulled the pistol and accidentally shot himself in the chest. Now, this is the kicker to the story, as it was told to me. Our local sheriff's department and our ambulance service didn't want to stay down in the area to get Mike out, because something in the woods was making the most horrific, horrific sounds and just thrashing the woods to pieces. Just tremendous, tremendous sounds and movement in the woods. And told to me was that the paramedics wouldn't even get the man out of the woods until all of that settled down and was gone. it's just a very awesome, awesome, awesome place here, Tom. And I hate that we didn't have as much activity on that night, but it was frigid cold, as you say. It was terribly cold.
You know what? It took too many people to maintain that area to do a real complete search. And that's the reason why, come March, I'm going to have an army of a minimum of 50 people out there. And you know what? We'll do what we know how to do best. But I'll tell you what, you know who I need to talk to? I need to hear from, I think it's Missy. Is she on the line with us?
No, Tom, Missy, Joe, and Sissy are not on, but Abby is on.
Oh, Abby's on. Okay, Abby, how are you? You there,
Uncle,
too?
Uncle Tom, am I still unmuted, Marco?
You're on.
I got you.
Uncle Tom, I wanted to tell you about the incident that happened to me Sunday. I went over to Joe's place.
Oh, wait. Now, let me set this up. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe, his name is Joe Parkman. He's the ex-police chief. Remember this now. He's an ex-police chief. Now, he got threatened. Talked too much, apparently, about what he saw and what he knew. Here's another cover-up, I guess. I don't know. Call it what you may. But the man got fired, was it last October?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wait until you hear this story. We were going to have him on tonight. I don't know what happened. But why don't you tell everybody, because you went over there and you saw the fingerprint blotters and all that kind of stuff, because you send all that stuff to me, and tell them about the case with the balls. Tell everybody.
Uncle Tom, the place at Joe's place, it's 260 acres. Of Bigfoot habitat with adjoining water sources that are just riddled throughout the whole place. You have 5 to 6 dead lakes that's adjoining this area along with the river. There's 2 separate habitats that are on this property, big habitats. I have pictures that I uploaded and I'm trying to get them to your email with my computer, but I have very high-definition photographs of fingerprints that the fingerprints are 2 inches, the fingers themselves are almost 2 inches wide that are in these photos. That's just all over the walls of Joe's cabin, of outhouses from his house. I have balls that I sent off to Tom in the mail that have not been touched. They are sealed in bags with DNA still on them, balls that were set out in an experiment, one set out on one date, left, Joe would come back, that ball would be gone. He set another ball out, dated with GPS coordinates on the ball. He would leave, come back, the ball that was there prior would be there, and the new ball would be gone. I put those balls in the mail to you, Tom, yesterday. So you should be receiving that package within the next couple of days. But
it's totally incredible when I hear this. I heard this, ladies and gentlemen, from the ex-police chief himself.
Yes, sir.
This story just boggles my mind. I just can't wait, because when we go back there, we're going to stay there for at least a week to 10 days minimum. And I'm going to assemble an army like you won't believe, just like I'm going to do the same thing up in Arkansas. So the same boys that I have in Arkansas are just going to go down right down to Mississippi. But, you know, I want you to tell a story. Now, just change gears for a second. Get on a different track and talk about Sissy.
You're talking about Missy, Tom?
Well, there's both. There's Sissy and Missy, right?
Missy is the one that I know.
Okay, but Missy is the one that kept the journal, right?
Yes, sir. Missy has a journal that she has 2 years or a little better worth of evidence. She has a video.
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set this up. This will boggle your mind also. This woman kept a journal, shows, and it could tell you each and every time when this creature would appear. She's got hair samples. She's got video. Tell a story.
Well, Tom, like you say, she does have over 2 years' worth of documentation as far as journal handwritten proof. Her late husband, God rest his soul, was a ex deputy sheriff here in the county in which we're from. And he got called out to this back a long time ago when it first started. Well, he got headlong into the investigations, as well as Missy did. They made a videotape out behind their property of a teepee. Now, I call this teepee, you know, it'd be like it's like a shelter habitat. And I hope that they still have the video of this, Tom. But the teepee was built out of pine trees, not limbs, not twigs, not vines, pine trees that were twisted at the end, all stood together as a shelter. They went out on an investigation, found it, filmed it. They went back to the same spot on a later date. This shelter was ripped to shreds. This is also where they found footprints. Now, she is headlong into this. It's just, like I said, she sent off DNA hair samples that come back showing one set of come back as a cow, a normal cow. One come back as unknown. It was unknown origin. And she has that documentation. I think she's supposed to send it to you, Tom. I'm not sure. If not, I'm going to do my level best to put my hands on it. Because she is supposed to be coming here when we have our big expedition. She will be here.
That is excellent. And you know what? I didn't know that we're getting into overtime, and I only got one more guest left, and I got to make sure that they get on. So just mute yourself out. Listen, there's still more show to come, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'll call you after the show, son.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
God bless you, Uncle Tom.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Damon from Mississippi. Boy, I'm telling you, the show just gets better, don't it? There ain't no downtime here. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to my boy out in AZ, Arizona. Let's talk to Alex. Alex, you out there, son?
Hey, Pop. How you doing?
Well, what do you expect me to do? You've just heard two of the most probably incredible stories of your life, haven't you?
The great show tonight. Great show tonight. Damon, simply awesome, and the guys up in Arkansas, simply awesome, too. So great show tonight.
Incredible. You know, but I got to tell you something. Our ongoing search that we got going up there in AZ, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to my good buddy, my brother from another mother, Larry Jenkins. And Larry, I hope you're listening out there, my brother. Unbelievable footage. Go to searchingforbigfoot.com. Go to bigfootliveradioshow.com. And under the picture there of Alex, he's got the four pictures. It's labeled as Biscardi's Canyon in the snow, and there's fire in the summer. Look at those photos, ladies and gentlemen. He's back, and he's here with a vengeance. Tell the story, son.
Well, you know that Larry and Wayne were unloading on the deck, and they could see the footprints down in the wash from the deck. And, you know, Larry went down after they unloaded. They had brought a lot of equipment and some stuff up there. So they got unloaded, and they went down into the canyon, into the Biscotti Canyon, the wash below his property. And the tracks had come from the northwest and continued off in kind of the southwest. And, you know, right down the wash and out the other side. And, you know, up there it's wide open so that the snow don't kind of build up as much. It blows away. So there was only, you know, 6-4 inches of snow there. And by this time it had hardened up and iced up a little bit, so it was very solid. The footprints just went on, and there was nothing next to them. You know, there was no footprints where somebody had kneeled down and drew these in the snow. And they're not bear tracks. You got to see them for yourself. They're definitely not bear tracks. There's no deviation left or right to these tracks like a four-legged creature would make. The only deviation to these is left, right, left, right, left, right. And you can see Larry's footprints next to him where he placed the ruler. and they're 7 feet apart. The stride is about, you know, 7 feet, give or take. And these footprints, probably a little bit of snow melt, but they're 24 inches long. They're 12 inches wide, pretty much exactly like the creature that Larry described in his, you know, encounters would leave. And he followed it off to the southwest, you know, kind of towards Seligman, towards the next property and over the ridge for about 500, 600, 700 yards, you know, quarter of a mile or so, a little longer. And the footprints just kept going right through the snow. He got up and over, well, before he got up to the ridge, about halfway up, they were joined by another set of tracks, smaller, and they walked together for a while. And then they got up to the ridge, and he went over the peak of the ridge, and the sun was hitting the other side, and there was no snow cover. And you know that terrain up there is very rocky, volcanic, very hard. Of course, it's cold, so that it's solid. And there was no way to follow the tracks beyond that. But he followed them about 500, 600 yards, quarter of a mile. Hard traveling in that terrain, too. So the next day, he followed them out of the wash in the other direction from where they came. Same thing. They went about 700 yards and, you know, hit the other peak, the small hills within this property, and the tracks ended because the sun's hitting the tracks. So something is definitely up there. Lots of animal life, he said, but these tracks were amazing. And, you know, of course, we got the stories from the hunters back at the beginning in the snowfall that you mentioned last week or the week before. So very, very telling. And, you know, quite possibly this creature maybe, you know, maybe it's coming down from the mountains near Flagstaff where it's much, much colder, and maybe this area it just stays in. Maybe this is, you know, maybe it can handle this area, whereas the 10,000-foot peaks are just, you know, probably that much more unbearable. But it's here now, whatever the reason is. If it's just passing through, I don't know, but it's here now. So,
Alex, I think the people really need to get a quick lesson. We only got a few minutes left, but they must think that, you know, we can just go there and trek up the mountain and there we are. Tell them how tough it is to get there this time of year.
Well, actually, Larry told me don't even try because, you know, he'll have to come get me. You know, and I got my Durango. It's a pretty good vehicle. Got the oversized tires, but it's not four-wheel drive, even though it looks like it is. I wouldn't chance it. To get in there, and, you know, they've had more snow since this. The day after he followed the tracks, they were gone because they had about 2 feet of snow, and it didn't blow away. But to get in there, and none of the other property owners have been in there. It's a private road. It goes for about 12 miles, so it's not plowed. It's only a dirt road anyways, and you got these valleys by the side of the road that now you can't see. So, you know, the slightest deviation off this road, and you know it's not big, you've driven it, and you are in these valleys, and you're not getting out. We're probably not getting out when there's no snow if you get caught in those little valleys next to the road. But definitely with the snow, you're not getting out. In fact, if you try, you might end up tipping over your vehicle. So, you know, you're not going to get up there unless you got a four-wheel drive. And even then, you got to know where you're going because you'll drive right off the road. And there's pipes and drainage pipes all throughout there. They're just plastic. You get hung up in one of those, you're going to go through, you're going to get caught. You're not getting out, even with a winch. So you got to drive about 12 or 16 miles of dirt roads. Then you're on an unreally used part of Route 66 for about 12 miles just to get there. You back up into private property. There's, you know, geez, I know the turns to take when you can see the ground, but in the whiteout, I don't know if you could. And you're talking about 2.5 feet of snow. Back when they were there, they've probably gotten little bits of snow since then. It's certainly not warming up enough for any of it to melt away. Getting up the hill, too, you know, you're up about 6,700 feet, and, you know, you're only at 6,000 feet. directly before that, so you're going up on that dirt road the whole time too. So if you don't have chains, you're not even going to make it. And the nooks and crannies of that property alone are it's amazing. I love it up there. It's an unbelievable place to go. We love going up there, especially with what's going on. But to get in and out of it.
Coming to the close of the hour, I want to thank you. You did miss one thing. Ladies and gentlemen, when you do get to see these photos, they're on both websites, searchingforbigfoot.com or bigfootliveradioshow.com. They show and depict the arch, the mid-torsal break, and you see all five toes. Larry Jenkins, I love you, man. You don't get any better than you. And thank you for all your help. Alex, keep up the good work, son. You're a part of our team. You're a part of our life. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tom Biscardi saying kudos. Till next time, America.
Good night, everybody.
Night, Pop.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries. Find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams. Break in day, we hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
sound-like. Everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody trying to manufacture
this. The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the facts.